Good Tzavach, Shavua Tov. This is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer from Brooklyn, New York. This is going to be the last of my Motzei Shabbos Shiurim for the summer, and we will pick it up again when the time becomes more convenient for people to be able to get into the call after the summer. So I'd like to point out something at the beginning of the Parsha, the end of the Parsha, and connect them together. Parsha famously opens with a double speak of Emor v'Amarta, Emor l'Kohanim v'Amarta lehem. Speak to the Kohanim, the children of Aharon, and speak to them saying the following. A Kohen may not become defiled by coming into contact with a deceased. Now, this question of the double Emor v'Amarta is a famous question which is addressed by many, many Mefarshim. So how do you explain the redundant opening line of Emor v'Amarta, speak to the Kohanim, speak to the Kohanim? So the plain meaning is that Hashem said, while speaking to the Kohanim, tell them the following. So in other words, it's a normal pattern of speech. There's nothing abnormal here at all. And there is no hidden message here other than, you know, the simple pshat. Ramban, however, suggests, generally speaking, that a double usage of a word in Tanakh is never redundant. It is never just simple pshat, but the redundancy and repetition is always meant to basically say what we're about to say or what we are saying is truly important. In other words, it's there for emphasis. Fine. So these are two of the simple ways to understand the Emor v'Amarta. But if there's something here which is really so important to pay attention to, what's the emphasis here? So Rashi, famously, again, attempting to explain the double language, cites a medrash. The two commands here, not one. Emor is for the Kohanim, that they're required to refrain from contact with a deceased and become Tameh. And V'Amarta is to teach the children, L'hazir Gedolim, Alakatanim, to warn the elders to teach the youth. In other words, to tell them this is their responsibility. But isn't this true for all mitzvahs? Don't the Gedolim have to be Mechanech the Katanim in all mitzvahs? Why specifically here is the teaching of L'hazir Gedolim, Alakatanim? And the truth of the matter is, this is a rather arcane point to make the teaching regarding something related to Tumah V'Tahara by Kohanim. Why don't we do it by Kibud Av V'Em? Why don't we do it by Shabbos? Do it by Yom Kippur? I don't know, something that really applies to everybody in a broad fashion. But here, regarding Tumah V'Tahara, Kohanim, so why is this message, if so, L'hazir Gedolim Ala Ketanim, taught that the elders have to teach the youth? Why specifically here? And here I'd like to share something which is not my own. Rabbi Yochanan Zweig actually suggests that there are indeed two mitzvahs over here, but both are directed at the elder Kohanim. It's not that L'hazir Gedolim Ala Ketanim, to teach the elders that the children have to do it as well. But there are two mitzvahs here, and both of them are on the Kohanim, the Gedolim, the adults. First, the Kohen may not become defiled. That's number one. The Kohen has to know that he's not allowed to become Tameh. Secondly, if you are interested in successfully passing on the Mesorah, the mitzvahs, the Chinuch, to the next generation, you cannot force it upon them. The children cannot be made to feel that the entirety of the Jewish experience is to listen and adhere to rules. Rather, what do you have to do? Do it yourself. Emor means basically, first do it yourself. Let the children see how you live. Let them see how you thrive when you live. Let them see a vibrant, beautiful experience of Yahadus, which includes Tumah V'Tahara. Then, next, tell them as well. Educate them. If you're simply an Emor Jew doing things yourself and you don't bother to actually communicate to the child, then the likelihood of their learning is minimized. It is lessened. But if you're simply an Amarta Jew telling the kids what to do but failing to live those ideals yourself, the odds of that message being internalized by the next generation diminishes precipitously. And so it's in this light, Lahaz Yigdolim Alakatana means to warn the children of what they must do in order to successfully transmit the Mesorah to the next generation. And it is precisely the laws of Tumah V'Tahara in which this message has to come across. Because Tumah V'Tahara, broadly speaking, means living a life of spiritual nobility or spiritual contamination. And therefore, according to the Ramban, the repetition is to emphasize the importance, this certainly warrants an important emphasis. And according to Rashi, the message of how to educate one's child is particularly significant as well. In other words, Emor V'Amarta, at the end of the day, the message clearly for us is to live lives as do as we do rather than do as we say. And if we teach by doing rather than by saying, and doing with saying, then we have the Ezras Hashem, the ability to truly pass something on in the most effective and powerful and meaningful and profound way. But that is from the beginning of the Parsha. And I think that the Parsha ends with a beautiful bookend to this. So if we look towards the end of the Parsha, we have the story of the Megadeth, the blasphemer, who curses Hashem, God forbid. Since this violation triggers such a capital punishment, it's important to understand what triggered the Megadeth to begin with. We understand how the Megadeth became a Megadeth. Maybe we can avoid those pitfalls ourselves or minimize it in society. So the Midrash famously suggests that the Megadeth in our Parsha resulted from the Megadeth having lost a court case in Beis Din. What was the Din Torah? The case revolved around the status of the Megadeth himself and where he would live. The Megadeth's mother was a Jewess from Shevet Dan, and his father was a Mitzri. So the Megadeth pitched his tent with Shevet Dan in their Nachla, in their area in Eretz Yisrael, and to his surprise, the B'nai Dan told him he had no standing with them. Basically said, what are you doing here? You're not one of us. Get lost. Now, even though personal status follows the mother, and the mother was from Shevet Dan, the tribal affiliation and the Nachala follows the father. In other words, they basically said, you're sitting in my seat. Get up and leave. So this case was brought to Moshe Rabbeinu's Beis Din, where the Megadeth claimed that as a son of a woman from Dan, he was connected enough to Shevet Dan that he should rightfully live in his land. However, Moshe Rabbeinu ruled in favor of Dan against the Megadeth, and he was thus evicted from their territory. The Megadeth was so incensed by this loss of the Din Torah that he angrily blasphemed the name of Hashem. So on one level, Megadeth just looks like an immature baby. He doesn't like how the court ruled, so he curses the whole system. However, one may suggest that the Medrash is teaching us a much more fundamental point. And that is, although Dan may have been legally correct in kicking the Megadeth out, they were not required to do so. They may have been legally right, but they were spiritually and morally wrong. Shevet Dan was not just an innocent bystander watching the Megadeth phenomenon develop, ultimately where he watched seeing him curse the name of Hashem, but in effect and in practicality, they were the one who caused it. Everybody has a backstory. Everyone has a backstory, and so did the Megadeth. And in their backstory, right there, lies Shevet Dan. And I think the message for us, particularly during the Avelos that we acknowledge during the Omer period, in which we mourn the loss of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, who were unable to or failed in showing proper dignity to one another, it's important for us to consider that when Jews walk away from Yiddishkeit, it's not enough for us simply to blame them or admonish them or critique them, or tell them that their concerns are ridiculous and they should just grow up. Rather, we have to ask ourselves, what part did we possibly play in their exit? Did we have any role in their seeing a Yahadus which was not worth it? Now, when we create a welcoming environment by leading lives of integrity and kindness, lives in which we have an exuberance and we have a fidelity and loyalty to the Ribbono Shel Olam, lives in which we show and demonstrate meaning and purpose, when we do that, we might very well be able to eradicate the entire Megadeh phenomenon. We might be able to restore unity to our people and therefore create a society worthy of the blessings of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the blessings of Geula, the blessings of final and complete redemption. So it seems to me our Parsha has two bookends here about how to deal with raising children, how to deal with children that might be potentially at risk, going off the derech, and looking at not what the other has to do in order to succeed, but what we have to do in order to ensure, or to better ensure, that the other succeeds. And when we see someone, whether it is a child or a neighbor or a friend, who is or a stranger, who has gone off the derech, we have to ask ourselves, what role do we individually and we as the Frum community, what role did we play in people looking at us and saying, it just isn't worth it? And perhaps, just perhaps, if we're able to be metaking ourselves and refine ourselves with greater spiritual profundity, then that will rub off to our children, to our neighbors, to our communities, to create something extraordinary, worthy of the brachas of Hashem. Shavua tov to all.